Blog Talk Radio.
Age of Comics, Chronicles of the Revolutionary Nerd. This is Mr. Andre Batts, your host, along with my co-host, Ms. Cynthia McDonald. Today we have a special guest in the house, Mr. Dwayne Maxman Johnson. That's the mighty Maxman Johnson. I met this brother a couple of months ago at the Motor City Black Age of Comics. I've always been interested in his work, the things that he's set out to do, and the different connections that he made over in Africa, and you know, just a lot of different things that the brother been doing. And I'm sure that he's going to have a lot to talk about and tell us about how he came into this industry of the independent and how he feels about the work that he's putting in and his fan base and more. Dwayne.
Sir.
Are you there?
Hello. How you doing, sir?
How you doing there, sir?
All right.
Yeah, how are you,
Max
Cynthia?
On, Max out, the greater heights of magnificence.
That's a good question I would like to ask you. Why do you add Max to everything that you claim as it relates to your character?
Well, it's basically a slogan, is a catchy slogan, and basically it makes people take notice of the character. You try to find good catchphrases to go with your character. That's a good fit. And I think something like Max, Magnificent, anything that's pertaining around the word Max or Maximum is something that will definitely get the reader's attention when they read the comic of Maximum Man.
Okay.
The very name of itself, Maximum Man, the reason why I named the character Maximum Man was because we, as a people, particularly the black man, he's considered to be the first man. So therefore, mm-hmm. he is the maximum man among all other men because he's the first. So Alpha, I could have used Alpha Man, but that was already taken. So I said, well, what can be just as good as Alpha? So I said, Maximum. So,
oh, yeah, you can't go any further than the Max, that's for sure.
You know, so.
All right.
And I want to first and foremost thank you for giving me this opportunity. I am humbled and I'm honored to be on your show. And I once again, I just wanted to thank you for that.
Well, I want to thank you for being able to come on to the show. You know, me and Cynthia, we just started the Motor City Black Age of Comics blog maybe back last year sometime, but we had laid off on it for a minute because, you know, Cynthia's a very busy person. She's an entertainer. She's doing so many different things as well as myself. And we decided we would reboot the Chronicles of the Revolutionary Nerd for this year, and you just so happen to be the first guest on here. And which is a good thing, you know, because you're going to set precedent for the rest of the individuals to come on here.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean?
Okay. Thank you. I'm very honored.
No problem.
And I wanted to also thank you for some years back. You had referred me to a brother. Well, really, to start off, how I got acquainted with your character was on YouTube, and I heard your theme song by the talented Mark Blackshire, a.k.a. Poetic Menace. And
I Facebooked
you some years back. It was back in 2009 or either 2010. And you told me about this very talented brother who did your theme song for Dreadlocks. So I got with the brother, and we wrote the lyrics and the melody for Maximum Man theme song. And I just wanted to... If you would allow me, I just wanted to play a little bit of that theme song on your show for all the Max Maniacs out there who may be listening, so that we can get a little sample.
I know you only got 20 minutes on the show, so if you want to take it up with
20
the
minutes,
song,
this is only a 2 minute intro to this song.
2 minute segment.
Yes, it's only like 2 minutes.
This is the first. I'm going to make sure I let Poetic Menace know that you really plugged him in.
Yes, definitely, because I had to give a brother credit. Credit is due. You know, without him to set my words into melody, we wouldn't even have a Maximum Man theme song. So I just wanted to give a shout-out to that brother for doing what he did, and I just want to give a shout-out to you and appreciate for you referring me to the brother so he could make this theme song for me. For Maxwell.
Okay.
And I just wanted to thank you very much. And I just wanted to express that by playing it over the airwaves to the brothers and sisters over there in Chi-Town and also in the Motor City and Chi-Town or wherever else your show will go for the listeners to hear Maxwell Man, the theme song.
All right. Well, we'll run it real quick so we can hear some of it.
Okay. All right.
Hopefully we can hear
it. Upon the dawning of time, an insidious blight was upon all humanity. The dark plight came against Mother Nubia Earth. A champion was chosen as a bright beacon of light by fate to be a man of mystery, while bestowed with great cosmic power and destined to fight crime for all time. From out of the pages of Millennium Comics comes a mighty, majestic mythology of a Nubian Knight kind of urban superhero. As he utters the immortal words, it's time to maximize. In Central City's darkest hour, he casts his light, ready to fight evil, the man of might, standing for right. Power stemming from the cosmos, ready to battle anyone who opposes. He knows the burden is heavy, but still he carries the weight against Pharaoh and Nero. It's a hero chosen by
dope.
And there it is.
Dope. Ah, never
yes,
even
indeed.
Heard it before. First I've heard it. That was dope.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's definitely. He did a great job. Stupendous job.
And
I'm going to make some copies of it for the next issue when that comes out later in the year, possibly around March when the second issue comes out. And I can put that in the, as an added bonus to the comic, the second issue of Maximum Man.
Okay.
Hello, Mr. Johnson. Very dope song.
Thank you. Thank you, Cynthia. It's nice to talk to you.
Thank
you. The last time
you
I saw you
well.
Was at the convention, at Andre Batch's convention. And it was very, very nice. Very nice. Had a lovely time.
Glad you enjoyed yourself.
Yes, indeed.
And me too.
Okay. I do apologize. I'm just coming in a little bit behind. So catch me up. What are we talking about so far?
Well, right now we know we had Max Man, you know, introduce himself or whatever, and he just started off with his song. He, you know, basically thanked me for giving him this opportunity. Thank you for interviewing him. We just got started, really.
Okay.
You know, that's it. But I really like that song. But one of the questions I would like to just get us all started or whatever is, I would like to know who were your earliest inspirations, you know, or your present influences that inspire your work?
Well, first of all, my inspiration was basically growing up as a child reading comics and getting really into that particular medium. And as a child, as a matter of fact, that's how I learned how to read, was through comics, you know. And when the introduction of superheroes, particularly black superheroes like Power Man and Falcon, Black Panther, Black Lightning, Black Goliath, those characters that came out in the 70s, you know, that really inspired me, you know. And I was drawing at an early age. I started drawing pictures at 6 years old. So I was a self-taught artist. I would often look at the comics and I would pretty much draw what I saw. And years later, as I got older, I was introduced to Brother Man comics. And that really inspired me, you know. And then some years later, Image Comics came out. Dwayne McDuffie's characters, and that even sparked my interest even more to want to do something to contribute to this art medium of comics. And and when I saw your work as well, that even gave me more inspiration to do something and put something out there. Because people said, you have the talent, you know, utilize it. And I guess I was self-taught. And I didn't go to any big colleges, but however, things have a certain time and place that happens in one's life when things can come your way for a certain time in your life. And one of those things was I was fortunate enough, I was reading a comic book, and they had advertisements. I don't know if you maybe remember Joe Kubert. And he was advertising in some Marvel and DC Comics, Joe Kubert School of Graphic and Commercial Arts in New Dover, New Jersey. And so I sent my $25 along with the application. And I was basically, I was in high school. And I sent it to him. And normally when they approve you, they'll send you a letter letting you know we like your work and we want to enroll you in our school. And they would send you the information. I didn't get a letter. I got a phone call. And the phone call was from Mr. Kubert himself. And he was impressed with my work even at that early age. And at that early age, I was in high school winning a lot of art-related awards for the school art department. And, you know, I was put in the newspaper. I was interviewed by a local TV show, talk show, there here in Baltimore, Maryland, called People Are Talking. And my art teacher spoke very highly of me and my talent at such a young age, and he was cultivating my talent, my skills.
Mm-hmm.
But Mr. Kubert, he was very impressed with my work, and he contacted me. He said, well, you already have that, basically, you know the basics. He said, all you just need is some refinement. And he said, I really would like for you to be a student of my school. And I said, well, it's an honor that the fact that you're even calling me. You know, I said, I read your comics as a kid, you know, when he used to draw for DC Comics. Hawkman, Ragman, some other characters that he had drew for DC Comics. And what happened was he said, well, do you think that you'll be able to come to the school? I grew up in a single-parent home. It was me and my mother. So she did the best she could. And right. just didn't have the funds. It was a 3-year course. And I explained to him my situation, at home, and I told him, I said, I don't know if I'd be able to afford your school. So he said, I really would like for you to come here, you know, because he said, I could really, you know, tutor you and really, you know, refine your skills, because he said, you already have it. You know, you just need some refinement. And
so you were under the tutelage of
Joe
Cooper.
He said, it'd be a shame if you couldn't come to the school. He said, so what I'll do, I'll make some phone calls. And I didn't know when he made some phone calls, I didn't know what he meant by that. He said, I'll make some phone calls. So he knows people in the industry in Marvel in D.C. And next thing I know, I get a letter from the editor-in-chief, Jim Shooter, from Marvel Comics. Because before Jim Shooter, before he became the editor-in-chief at Marvel Comics, he, in his career, he had first started working at DC Comics as a writer for the Legion of Superheroes series. And he had left DC Comics to go to Marvel, and he came in as a stand-in editor-in-chief for Marvel in place of Stan Lee, because Stan Lee was sent by the Marvel execs to work over in Hollywood to do the animated television series and the live TV show, Spider-Man and the Captain America and the Hulk TV show. So
right.
I got a letter from him, and I was, like, impressed, you know, and he said, well, we're starting a first-of-its-kind internship program for high school students for the summertime, and you have been selected as one of the students to attend. And he selected 5 youngsters to attend the internship. And all 5 of us, we got accepted. And I'm going to tell you about timing, because at that time, my aunt and uncle, he was relocated to work in New York. His job had sent them there, and from Baltimore. And he was in New York for like from the mid-80s to the late 80s. So I had a place to stay. So I was only there for 3 months in New York, and I stayed at my uncle's. And I was at the Marvel offices for 3 months during that summertime. It was 1987. Never forget it. Came there June 1987. When I came there June 1987, July of that same year, Mr. Shooter had left because of some issues pertaining to what was going on in the workplace there at that time. So Mr. DeFalco, who was like second in charge, had took over the reins, the writing reins, as well as being the editor-in-chief for Marvel at that time. So I got the opportunity.
You got that experience.
Yeah, that hands-on experience. And that was just basically, I was like a go-to guy. It was pretty much all of us, all 5 of us, we was just learning the ins and outs of the business. And we were pretty much like the gophers. Go get my coffee, go get my sandwiches at the diner, the
down
the street. You know, little things like that, you pay your dues. So I was there just soaking up all this knowledge in those 3 months. And that knowledge that I've learned, I've carried it even till this day in the production of doing the Maximum Man series. If you look at the book, you can see some elements of influences of Marvel in that book.
Right.
Down to the indicia, the introduction, Millennium Comics Presents Maximum Man. Well, I got that idea from Stan Lee Presents. That's in all the major
comics
titles.
As well.
Right. And, you know, so that 3 months, I have some invaluable information that I've obtained. I even met the brother, Mr. Ron Wilson. Of course, as you know, he was one of the first black artists, illustrators at Marvel at that time, who was working on the Marvel 2-in-1 series back then from 1970 to the 1980s, up until the series was canceled. And then they did the first Secret Wars with the Beyonder. And then after that, it kicked off with a spinoff series with just the Thing, because Ben Grimm had stayed behind after the series of Secret Wars was over with. And with Ben, Ben Grimm had stayed on that planet. Well, I had the good fortune to be working under Mr. Ron Wilson when he was doing that book. You know, so we was basically, he was teaching me all the ins and outs, and I was really grateful. And by that time, after my term was over with, I came back to Baltimore, Maryland, and I took with me all that knowledge that I had, and I started making my own characters, drawing even more, cultivating my art skills, and just thinking up characters to draw. And my story writing techniques, you know, I took a creative writing course class to work on my writing skills, because I already had the imagination, just putting down on paper, writing how to write a script, how to formulate a script, how to do a story treatment, all those things that one needs to know when you're doing a comic book. So, you know, I just thank God for that opportunity and the talent that he's given me. So, you know, I say, well, I created the Maximum Man character back in 1997. And I was writing stories, but it took me a while to just do the right costume design. Sometimes it could take years. I tell some young artists, they say, well, how did you, they ask me questions about Maximum Man and everything. I said, well, that character is 20 years in the making. I said, I just didn't think of something overnight. I had to look at a lot of study, a lot of characters that have already been done, a lot of stories that have already been done. And you look at all that, you look at what everybody is putting out, Marvel, DC, Image, and a lot of other independents. And sometimes the research is extensive. And at this time, they didn't have computers. You didn't have the internet. So you had to read, you had to research the old-fashioned way. And that's what I did. I mean, I just was a sponge soaking up all the comics I could from every company to see what they had, what they did not have. And what they did not have, that's what I decide, okay, that's what I'm going to put out. So,
Dwayne,
yes.
I have a question for you, because I was listening to you talk about how you were selected eventually to enter into an internship program or intern program when you were just in high school. So when you originally sent in your work so that it can be vetted when you were in high school before this whole thing kicked off about you being invited to school, et cetera, did you send in artwork for characters that was already created, like Marvel characters, DC characters, and other indie characters, or did you actually send in character artwork or sample artwork of your own imagination?
I had sent in already established, well-known characters.
Okay. Which characters
sent that, as a matter of fact, I had sent that to Mr. Kubert, Joe Kubert. Now, Mr. Kubert, what he did, he had forward my artwork to whatever connects that he had.
Mm-hmm.
And they saw the potential there. And
which
I was selected as one of the candidates. I believe I sent, it was Spider-Man, Superman, Batman, you know, the regular well-known characters.
Mm-hmm.
And from those, and what I drew, I think I do remember, every character that I drew their main arch nemesis that they was fighting against. So I drew Superman and Lex Luthor. I drew the Joker and Batman. I drew the Green Goblin and Spider-Man. I drew the Red Skull and Captain America. So I guess they were impressed by my penmanship and my draftsmanship on those illustrations. And they were colored. It was also ink penciled and colored. So they got to see my skills with how I can blend colors together, my muscle structure, anatomy, things of that nature. So these are the things they look for, you know, your muscle structure, anatomy, perspective, shading, those type of things. But they also want to see if you're a versatile, can you draw just more than just, not just only muscular people, can you draw average looking people, thin, tall, fat, small, you know, because in real life, these are the type of people that you see every day. You don't see muscular people. You know, so they want to see if you just first, because I've seen some youngsters, they always join muscular people. I said, well, I tell youngsters, I said, well, look, you have to learn how to draw all types of people, all shapes and sizes, because that's what.
Listen here, Dwayne, I got a question for you. What do you see in the future for Max Man, the Mighty Max Man, in the Max Man universe? I know you told me a while back that you were trying to do some things in Africa or whatever, but share with the audience what are your plans?
Well, pretty much, basically, I see Maximum Man, along with a lot of other characters, such as even your character, Dreadlocks, taking this whole thing to the next level. And basically, what we all need to do, just like the idea I brought forth to you some years back, you and a few other creators, I see all of us coming together. I mean that's a dream of mine, for all of us to come together, bring our characters together, become all one unified brotherhood and sisterhood of creators.
Right.
You know, and put our product out there, not only just in North America, but in Mother Africa. Anywhere in this world where there's a large community of black people, okay, that includes the Caribbean, that includes England, France, that includes South America. My plan was basically, and I wrote a 25 strategy book on how this can be implemented, and this is what I was trying to conveyed to you and a few other black independent creators here in North America as well as in Africa, that we all need to come together and bridge the gap, because the only way that we can be known and noticed by the mainstream is we all come together. It's great that we all individually doing what we're doing, but we're not making a major impact in the industry. The only way that can happen if we all come together, you know, as one, and set aside all the isms and schisms and the egos and all that, and just come together and put this thing together, because we have the talent. We have it. We're the first.
So,
we established this whole concept.
So Dwayne. So we got all
the minutes.
30 seconds left.
So,
okay.
If that. Can you just kind of just give us a real quick way of, like, how people can actually reach you and actually get a hold of your work?
Okay, well, right now I have my Facebook page, and I want to get a website started because I need to get one started. But for right now, you just go to my Facebook page and my email, And that's what I have right now until I get the website going.
Okay.
So,
well, I want to thank
my
you for,
Facebook page is Max
show.
Man Johnson. So,
say that one more time.
Okay, I want to thank you.
Okay. My Facebook page is Max Man Johnson. And my email address is maxmanjohnson69@gmail.com.
Awesome.
Great. I want to thank you for coming on the show this evening. We're going to have to get you back on again.
Thank
you
for having me, sir.
Time frame.
Okay.
All right. So I'm glad
it was a pleasure.
You're able to make
it
on here. Until next time, brother, stay up, keep up the good work, and we will talk soon.
All right, sir. And always remember, to max on, max out, the greater heights of magnificence.
Nice. And
everybody got it.
The Chronicles of a Revolutionary Nerd. You all have a good evening.
All right. You do the same. God bless. Take care. All right.
Peace.
Bye-bye.